Welcome to the International Double Reed Society podcast. These podcasts feature interviews, sound clips, and other items of interest for members of the IDRS. This is your host, Terry Yule, and I'm pleased to have you come join us. Now, let's enjoy the musicians, the music, and the wonderful art of double reeds. Hello, this is Terry Yule, and it's my distinct pleasure to be here with our new honorary member from the International Double Reed Society, Daniel Stolper. And Dan has long been associated with the Interlochen Music Academy, is that
right?
As well as Michigan State University. And so I'm going to ask Dan, how did you come into getting your position at Michigan and at Interlochen?
Good question. I never thought of myself as primarily a teacher. I, as most of us start out, I went to music school with the idea of being a professional player, and that's what how my life started, really. I was lucky. I got right out of the Eastman School and played 1 year in the Buffalo Philharmonic on the English horn, and then moved to the San Antonio Symphony, where I played first oboe for 5 years, then moved to the New Orleans Philharmonic, where I played first oboe for 3 years, and then moved to a very difficult political situation, but a very good musical one in San Francisco, where I played for only 1 year. The politics were the reason that it was just 1 year. It's a long story, and it's way in the distant past, but it led to my going to Michigan. I had a very dear friend in the days of my Eastman studies, and even after I graduated from Eastman, I went back to Rochester for some summer sessions. They had quite elaborate summer programs then, and my teacher, Bob Sprenkel, didn't teach in the summers, and so he asked if I would be willing. Of course, I was flattered, and there's a wonderful chamber orchestra there that Fred Fennell conducted, who was on the faculty at Eastman at that time, more known for his work with the wind ensemble. And the wonderful bassoonist was at Eastman at that time getting his doctorate. His name is Ed Kirk, and he was playing in that Eastman Chamber Orchestra. And we just played together and enjoyed each other's playing and enjoyed each other's company. I socialized a lot with their family. And of course, he was at Michigan State. And I had heard of Michigan State, but that was it. Only heard of it. And it didn't interest me at all.
Yeah.
I just envisioned myself spending my life playing in professional orchestras, and it was starting out that way. But I found myself suddenly feeling sort of on the wrong side of conductors and managers and just feeling a little like thinking more about the business angle as opposed to the idealistic angle of playing the great masterpieces, the exciting part of being a musician that inspires all of us and that brings us to music in the first place. That was sort of fading away, and I was going home from rehearsals feeling almost a little sick to my tummy and thinking, life is not so good. And out of the blue, the phone rang. It was my friend Ed, the bassoonist, saying, we're going to have an oboe vacancy on our faculty. Have a terrific wind quintet, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, what? East Lansing, Michigan, after these sort of glamorous cities I'd been living in and playing in wonderful orchestras. But I felt like it was God opening a window for me or something, opening a door that I just never even thought was a door that I would think about passing through. So I said, sure. He said, why don't you just come and look the place over and let the director of the music school chat with you and maybe play a few notes, play a recital or something like that. So I did those things, and the next thing I knew, I was there. And you asked about Interlochen. I had heard about Interlochen when I was a youngster, and wherever I went to school, I just saw Jerry Corey not long ago. We were good friends at Eastman, and he said, one of the first things he said when we met at Eastman was, didn't we meet at Interlochen? Weren't you at Interlochen? I'm thinking, no. Everybody had been there but me, it seemed like. My parents just couldn't afford it, and that was that. So shortly after I washed up on the shores of Michigan, the phone rang, and it was the director of the music camp at Interlochen saying, have you heard of us? I said, yes. He said, we need an oboe teacher. Are you interested in giving it a try for a summer? So, it was one of those magic doors opening. And I said, I'd love to try it. And 30-some years later, I'm still working there and still loving it and still loving the idea of guiding young people. It's interesting, Terry, as I talk about the gratification of working with young people. I'm thinking of our dear colleague and one of my very best friends, John Mack, whose funeral is today, coincidentally. It's a very sad moment for us Double Reed people, us musicians in general. But I met him in the mid-60s in Marlboro. We played together, and we never stopped being friends after that. But his life was sort of illuminated by teaching, by looking after young people. Of course, he was a wonderful player, but he always said to me, it was almost a slogan or a mantra, he would say, looking after the young is doing the Lord's work. Hmm. I believe that, and he believed it, and it continues to be meaningful to me, and I sense his influence all around us here. The young people who are going to be playing in the recital in a few minutes are pupils of his, and they're going to be continuing his mission as they teach, and you know, I feel like that's the most exciting, gratifying aspect of being in this profession. Certainly our own performances are important, but they bring us a certain amount of joy and gratification from participating in the works of great composers long dead. But what we can do to inspire today's young people, audiences in general, and try to get them to experience some of the joy that you and I have experienced and continue to. I think that's what teaching's about. So,
I'm wondering if you have a humorous event that's happened in your life that you'd be willing to share with us.
Wow. Some oboe players would say that every day has a humorous event with the oboe. If you keep your sense of humor intact, you know, the reeds are crazy and they drive you crazy. This turned out to be sort of humorous. It started out to be odd and hurtful, but it was when I was in the San Antonio Symphony, and it taught me a lot about getting along with colleagues and getting along with other oboe players. You know, you're never on your own in an orchestra. In the San Antonio Symphony, there were two others, and I remember the young woman who was playing second, who shall remain nameless, but brilliant player and very excited about the profession, but eaten with anxiety about not getting to play first oboe enough, and hoping that we could sort of rotate and alternate and such like. And of course, I thought that was more the conductor's decision to make than mine. But to make this a shorter story, in the midst of a rehearsal of some big oboe piece, as I recall, my colleague tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Dan, my pencil, would you get?" And it had somehow she arranged for it to roll down, and I bent down to pick it up. And when I bent up, it came back up again to play. I saw that my reed had been folded over, and I looked at my colleague, who was looking as innocent as the newborn lamb, and I thought, boy, she's really wanting to play. And it was funny, and it was too bad, and I simply couldn't confront her. I just couldn't. But I thought to myself, I just have to stop being so proprietary about my job and sort of arrogant about being a first oboe player and share this a little bit in the children's concerts or something and just lighten up a little bit and relax. And with what felt like something almost aggressive turned out to be the first step towards something that was a little better friendship for us, a better collegial arrangement. So it was wacky, but that's oboe players for you.
Well, Dan, I want to thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule, and thank you for the interview.
It's a great pleasure, Terry. We'll see you around the convention.
Unfortunately, there was no winner to our last game and our last podcast, the mystery recording. That recording was the Fernand David, at least a portion of the Fernand David Concertino in B-flat, Opus 12. So, for the conclusion of this podcast, we're going to hear that in its entirety. This is Michelle Bettis Bassoon performing with Esther Wang Piano, and their performance is at the IDRS conference at the University of Wisconsin in 1999. Views expressed by the guest or host do not represent those of the International Double Reed Society. Be sure to listen each month to a new IDRS podcast. For further information, please visit the IDRS website at idrs.org. This is your host, Terry Ewell, thanking you for listening. Goodbye.